From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Thursday, June 15th. Coming up, we'll learn more about how Illinois is enacting more abortion protections 1 year after the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. An Illinois lawmaker wants to tax and regulate a popular hemp derivative that's already widely sold in stores. Alex Degman reports.
Delta 8 has effects similar to marijuana, but it's not as strong. Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford says, quote, bad actors are making shoddy products, and that upsets legitimate Delta 8 sellers.
They're not labeling them properly. They're selling them to minors, people that invest a lot of money in this business. They're saying, we don't want to lose our business. We want a reputable business.
Ford wants Delta 8 to be taxed at rates similar to cannabis, but exact details will be discussed in coming months. He says some in the marijuana industry want Delta 8 banned entirely, but previous alcohol and cannabis prohibitions failed, and Ford says it's not the right move. I'm Alex Degman.
The Illinois State Capitol building is in the midst of a $300 million makeover. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Construction crews are working on what will be a Senate committee hearing room. It's part of a major renovation of the entire north wing of the building, which houses the Senate chambers and offices. The project also calls for a new underground conference space and large parking garage. Capitol lead architect Andrea Agret says one of the goals is to restore the building's historic qualities.
I hope that everybody else appreciates walking through the building and realizing that they could have had an ancestor that worked here creating this beautiful space.
Construction began in 2021, and Agret says they plan to wrap up by January 2025. Mawa Iqbal, WBEZ News.
The first ever Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District Juneteenth block party will be held this Friday at the Illinois Terminal. It's been 3 years since the declaration of Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Juneteenth is a commemoration of June 19, 1865, when enslaved people in Texas learned of their freedom, years after the Emancipation Proclamation officially freed them. Amy Snyder is MTD's chief of staff. She says the pandemic made it difficult to hold a program like this sooner.
We were pretty focused on what was in front of us, trying to deliver as much service as we could with our current workforce shortage.
But, she says, since Juneteenth was brought to their attention, it was a priority. From 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, there will be exhibits, food, music, and more. Meetings of the Champaign Community Coalition include regular reports from local police departments. And at yesterday's meeting, those reports were dominated by reports of shootings. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
I think it's fair to say that it has been a sad and busy couple of weeks leading up to today.
That's how Champaign County Sheriff Dustin Harmon summed up the last few days, as seen by law enforcement in the Champaign, Urbana, and Rantoul areas. Champaign Deputy Police Chief Jeff Kuhn says they've logged dozens of reports in their investigation of the biggest recent incident, in which several people were hurt, too critically, by a combination of gunshots and vehicle accidents at a pop-up party near Douglas Park.
I did talk to one detective who's been here longer than I have, about 26 years. He says it's probably one of the most chaotic scenes he's ever been on.
Kuhn says Champaign police will be present as a deterrent at public gatherings during the upcoming Juneteenth holiday weekend, perhaps in larger numbers than usual. But the department is hampered by a staffing shortage. They've had to withdraw from their agreement to patrol middle and high schools, and they've brought in U of I campus police to patrol the campus town area. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
A public meeting for Douglas Park neighborhood residents will be held tonight at 6 p.m. at the Douglas Annex. It's part of the City of Champaign's strategy for reducing gun violence. Still to come, we'll learn more about how Illinois has responded to abortion rights 1 year after the overturning of Roe v. Wade. That story is next on 217 Today.
Our House is a riveting new four-part mystery series about conspiracy, betrayal, and a marriage in ruins. Fee Lawson arrives home one day to discover strangers moving into her house and is shocked to learn that her husband Bram is missing. Her confusion and fear build as she realizes the secrets and lies have only just begun. Learn how to watch this and other gripping mysteries as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Roe v. Wade fell last summer, but abortion continues to be legal in Illinois. Mary Dixon speaks with Mawa Iqbal about what's been happening in the state since then.
When the U.S. Supreme Court struck down Roe v. Wade, abortion remained legal in Illinois. Republican lawmakers have been trying to overturn state abortion laws. Democratic lawmakers continue to push for laws protecting Illinois residents as well as out-of-state patients. WBEZ is spending the run-up to the 2024 election looking at the critical issues facing and shaping our democracy. Today, I'm talking with WBEZ's Mawa Iqbal about what's been happening on the legal front in the year since Roe fell. I thought we'd start with what laws state lawmakers have passed around abortion access.
Illinois has already had some of the strongest abortion protections in the country when they passed the Reproductive Health Act in 2019 that basically guaranteed abortion access for all Illinois residents. But since Roe fell last summer, they sort of ramped up their protections specifically for out-of-state patients and providers because they saw, you know, as a lot of advocates say, Illinois did become a sort of Midwestern safe haven for abortion access as surrounding states like Missouri and Indiana and Wisconsin moved to restrict abortion access. And so, you know, lawmakers passed protections for patients, providers coming in from out-of-state. They passed a law that would prohibit law enforcement from sharing license plate reader data with outside state agencies for the purpose of prosecuting for abortion care. They've expanded access to emergency contraception on college campuses. And they also passed a measure that would allow patients to sue crisis pregnancy centers if they feel like they were misled from seeking abortions.
Abortion advocates made it clear they wanted to see more protections around access in Illinois. What have they been saying?
When I talked to Democratic Representative Kelly Cassidy, she said that it's really all about just waiting until the other shoe drops. And so they're monitoring what other states are doing as far as penalizing or even criminalizing their residents from coming into Illinois. They're also looking to codify abortion access into the Illinois state constitution. So currently, under the Reproductive Health Act of 2019, Illinois residents are guaranteed the right to an abortion under Illinois law, but it's not in the state constitution.
Not everyone agrees about what to do post-Roe. What have Republicans been doing in Springfield to counter these abortion protections?
They've been introducing a lot of bills that would essentially just overturn or undo a lot of the work that their Democratic colleagues have been doing. So, like, for example, they introduced a bill that would repeal the Reproductive Health Act of 2019. They would also outlaw mobile abortion clinics. There's another bill that would charge physicians who perform abortions at certain stages of the pregnancy with felonies. Stuff like, you know, requiring public schools to teach family life-centered sex ed, which would include alternatives to abortion.
And Mawa, I understand a Republican from outside of Peoria, Representative Bill Howder, told you that lawmakers know that their bills won't pass, but they file them anyway. Why would they do that?
To show their constituents that they're doing something. He said, you know, it's an uphill battle to get any sort of conservative legislation truly passed in a Democratic supermajority like Illinois, but it's really just to show their constituents, the people in their district, that they're trying at least.
This conversation is part of the Democracy Solutions Project. It's a collaborative effort among WBEZ, the Chicago Sun-Times, and the University of Chicago Center for Effective Government. Together, we're examining critical issues facing our democracy in the run-up to the 2024 elections.
That's Mary Dixon speaking with Mawa Iqbal. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a slight chance of shower or thunderstorm this evening and a high of 90 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, May Antar, Jim Meadows, and Mawa Iqbal. music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Vera Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.